Good morning, back to Durham College. Let's pick up our Bible, shall we, and read from Luke and chapter 8. Luke and chapter 8 is a well-known story. And I don't know whether I'm going to say anything that will be new to you. As I said before, we so often need to be reminded of the same truths. So Luke chapter 8, starting to read at verse 22 in the Church Bibles, it's on page 1037. Luke chapter 8, starting to read at verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." How easy is it to trust in the Lord Jesus when the skies are blue and the sun is shining? My guess is that we find it relatively easy to trust in the Lord Jesus when all is going well, but how easy is it to trust in him when the skies are grey and dark? How easy is it to trust in Jesus when things are not easy? Well, we experience disappointments of one kind or another. How easy is it to trust in Jesus when we find ourselves unemployed? Or when we find ourselves experiencing bereavement? Or when we find ourselves experiencing financial problems? We call these kinds of situations the storms of life. Well, Jesus has called 12 disciples, 12 apostles to follow him. And these 12 disciples have witnessed lots of miracles that he has performed. They have heard his Sermon on the Mount or his Sermon on the Plain. They've heard him teach lots of miracles. They've even had these parables explained to them. They are happy to follow him. They are happy to trust. But how will they cope when they find themselves facing the storms of life? Will they trust him then? I believe that the events of this day were really important for the disciples of Jesus, because it turned out to be a faith-building exercise. I believe that these verses are really important for us as Christians as we make our way through life. Interestingly, this account is recorded in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You see, the events of this day taught the disciples a great deal about the Lord Jesus, and they also teach us a great deal about the Lord Jesus. So as we look at it together, I want to emphasize three things. Firstly, Jesus' promise. Secondly, Jesus' power. And thirdly, Jesus' person. His promise, his power, his person. Firstly, his promise. Look at verse 22. On one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. Now you may ask the question, where is the promise? But I think it is a promise. You see, it is the purpose of the Lord Jesus to travel to the other side in this sailboat with his disciples. And do the purposes of God ever fail? I would argue that they don't. So I want to read verse 22, not just as a word whereby Jesus is telling his disciples what he intends to do, rather a word whereby he intends to impress upon his disciples what they shall do. I would argue that if they had taken to heart the words of the Lord Jesus, then perhaps they would have fared much better in the midst of the storm. We just don't know, do we, what the road ahead will be like. We don't know whether there will be sunny days or whether there will be dark and cloudy days. But what we do have is the promise of the Lord Jesus that he will be with us every step of the way, and that he will leave us as Christians safely to heaven's shores. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28. "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Life may not be easy, but we are saved in the hand of Jesus, and he will lead us safely home. Think of that ancient people that we read about in the Old Testament, the Israelites. God wonderfully redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. He did so by his awesome power. His intention was to lead them through the promised land, that land filled with milk and honey, but it wasn't an easy journey, was it, to get there? Firstly, they had to get across the Red Sea, whilst knowing that the Egyptian army were coming after them. But God saw them through that. Then for many years they wandered through the wilderness. It wasn't easy. There were times when they were aware of being without water and without food, but God provided for them. They faced enemies, but God enabled them to overcome them. Finally, they came to the River Jordan. How on earth would they cross it? But God enabled them to cross it safely to the promised land. Let me quote a well-known hymn to you, or at least part of it. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side." That is exactly what God has promised as far as his people, his chosen ones, his disciples are concerned. So firstly this morning we have his promise. But secondly this morning we can learn about his power. I wonder, do we ever doubt his power or his ability to lead us safely home? We need not if we do, for he has power to overcome anything in life that we may come up against. So we ask the question, if God has such power, then why does he allow such things to come our way in the life that are so troublesome? Why doesn't he just take them away? Well, one of the reasons he allows such things is to strengthen us in our faith. You see, it's often as we battle against the storms of life that the Lord Jesus teaches us about himself. Just as he taught the disciples much about himself on this particular occasion. As the disciples sailed across the Lake of Galilee, we read that a squall came down on the lake. And it would seem that this was something that happened suddenly and unexpectedly. Darren Bock, in his commentary on Luke, writes, given the Sea of Galilee's topography, such a storm could descend onto the sea quickly without notice, and at night could hardly be anticipated. The sea is some 100 feet below sea level, and is depressed with hills surrounding it. The hills on the east side are particularly steep. Cool air rushing down the ravines and hills around the lake can collide with warm air above the lake and create an instant storm in the confined quarters. Well, we read that this was a really bad storm. So bad, in fact, that the boat was being swamped and the disciples were in great danger. They were in danger of being drowned. And I guess the storms of life in many ways can be just like this, can't they? They can come upon us suddenly and unexpectedly. I often think of Job. One day Job is walking through life, the sun is shining and God is pouring one blessing upon his life after another. It couldn't be better. And then, one day, all his family are taken from him. And then soon after that, his good health is taken from him. Also suddenly and unexpectedly. I think we can probably say the same about the early church. Things were wonderful at the beginning. The church was growing. Everybody had everything in common. They knew great joy. And all of a sudden, straight after Stephen's death, persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus' disciples feared the words, and they were afraid. It's interesting that they were all afraid because some of the men in the boat were, of course, experienced fishermen. They had sailed on rough waters before. In fact, they had sailed on these waters nearly all their lives. These tough guys were afraid. And we sense their fear as they woke Jesus up and spoke to him. Verse 24, the disciples went and woke him saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. In Matthew's Gospel we read that they said this, the disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Interestingly, in Mark's Gospel, this is what they say. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Well, I think Jesus understood
their fears. In fact, I'm confident that he understood their fears. But he knew that no power, no storm was capable of preventing him and his disciples from crossing the lake to the other side. And he intended to prove it to them in order to help build or strengthen their faith in him. And so we read in verse 24, he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Let me just stop for a moment this morning and we marvel at the power of the Lord Jesus. Ivan has already encouraged us to stop and to think about the enormity of the love of God. I would now encourage us to stop and think about the enormous power of the Lord Jesus. If we read on into Luke's Gospel, we see that Jesus demonstrates his power over all kinds of things. Here, over nature, but as we read on, over demonic powers, and then over sickness, and then even over death itself. You see, in Jesus we have one who is mighty to protect and mighty to save. He has the power to take away our storms. He has the power to see us through our storms. And I think I must emphasize the latter, because it seems to me that more often than not, this is the way it works with Jesus. Yes, sometimes he does take away the storms, we thank God for that, but so often he gives us strength, he gives us grace in order to see our way through the storms. This is true, wasn't it, for the Apostle Paul? We've talked about his thorn in the flesh on so many occasions before. We don't know exactly what his thorn in the flesh was, but he was so desperate to get rid of it because it was so painful. Three times he prayed that the Lord would take it away. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And he proved the sufficiency of God's grace, God's power at work within his life. And this would have been true, too, for the early Christians. They faced persecution. God didn't take it away, at least not straight away, but he gave them the grace to endure. So firstly, we read of his promise. Secondly, his power. Thirdly, this morning, his person. His person. All three synoptic gospels record Jesus' words to his disciples after he had calmed the storm. Verse 25, where is your faith? He asked. But what I believe is this, that Jesus expected them on this particular occasion to have exercised faith in him, to have trusted in him. You see, they had his promise. But perhaps they had forgotten his promise. And it's so easy, isn't it, for us when we find ourselves in the midst of a raging storm to forget words that Jesus has communicated to us in the past through his word. They also knew his power, didn't they? They had already witnessed miracles of one kind or another, but again, when we find ourselves in the midst of a raging storm, is it so easy to forget the way in which Jesus has worked so wonderfully and powerfully in our lives on previous occasions? And they knew of his love and concern for that, didn't they? Interestingly, Mark's Gospel records that they said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown?
Although now, as time went on, they would look back on this occasion and they would be reminded of Jesus' care for them. And of course, there would come an event in the ditch where Jesus would display the wonder of his love for them as he bore the wrath of God in their place. Or he would impress upon them the height and the depth and the width of his love for them in the days to come. A love, as Ivan has reminded us this morning, that cannot be measured. Look at the way that the disciples reacted to Jesus' power on this particular day in fear and amazement. They asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I think we would have asked that question, wouldn't we, if we'd have been around on that particular day? I'd never seen anyone do this kind of thing before, and even as they looked at their Old Testament scriptures, there was no prophet who had spoken and behaved in quite this way before. Who is this? But of course Jesus was slowly revealing to his disciples who he really was. In the Old Testament, who is it that saves men and women from hell? In the Old Testament, who is it that exercises power over nature? Well, of course, it is God. Keep your finger in Luke chapter 8 for a moment and turn back with me to Psalm 107, and I'm going to start reading from verse 23. It'd be good for you to follow, because I'm reading quite a few verses. I'm going to read all the way through to verse 30. So Psalm 107, starting to read at verse 23. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest, that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. What wonderful words, and how well they seem to tie in with this passage that we're looking at this morning. Jesus wanted his disciples to see something at least of his divine nature. Who is God? Well, he is faithful in keeping his promises. We know that he is one of infinite power. We've seen that this morning. He is also a God of love. A God who deeply cares about his people. And here we find a clear demonstration of Jesus' love for his disciples. He loves them. Not just on the sunny days, but even in the midst of the storm. Friends, life is full of storms and trials. I don't need to tell you that. You already know that. But we are called to trust in Jesus every step of the way, confident that he will lead us
safely to heaven's shores. If you wish that your faith was greater than it is, I wish that my faith was so much greater than it is. I wish that my faith was more like Jesus's faith. Isn't it interesting how that while the disciples were trying to keep the boat afloat, were full of panic or anxiety, Jesus was fast asleep with his head on a pillow, seemingly at perfect peace. What a tremendous contrast. Anxiety, peace. How could Jesus be at such peace? Well, I would argue because he was trusting perfectly in his heavenly Father to watch over him throughout his earthly life. Oh, to be more like Jesus. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to finish this morning with a couple of stories. The first one is of a father who took his boy out onto the back porch and lifted him up onto the railings. He then went onto the lawn and stood a little way from the railings, put his arms out like this and said to his little boy, "Come on then, jump." The little boy was afraid to jump. It was a long way up. And it took several minutes before the little boy was willing to jump, but eventually he jumped. But just as he jumped, the father stepped back. And the poor little boy landed on the ground and began to cry. Well, his father stepped forward and picked him up, brushed the dust off him, and wiped his eyes, and then said to him, "Let that be a lesson. Don't ever trust anyone." You may not have been expecting that story. You may have been expecting a slightly different one. But I'm sure that you have heard people in life saying to others, "Don't trust anyone." Well, wouldn't it be terribly sad if we could not trust anyone in life? Who can we trust in? Well, the Bible says that we can trust in the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you another story. I'm going to read it. It's easier for me to do that. It's a better story. One day, while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey Dad, catch me!" I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped and then yelled, "Hey Dad!" I became an instant circus act, catching him. We both fell to the ground. For a moment after, I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" He responded with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. And the writer goes on to say, isn't this even truer for a Christian when Jesus is concerned? That's what we find ourselves really against it. When we find ourselves in the midst of the raging storm, let us remember three things. Firstly, Jesus' promise to lead us safely home to heaven's shore. Secondly, let us remember his power. There's nothing that we can ever face that is too much for him. He can either take away those storms or he can give us sufficient grace and power to see us through those storms. And let us thirdly remember his person. That he is God. That he's concerned about us. That he loves us. We are his chosen people.
And he is not only with us in the boat,
but he is at work
in all things, the good and the bad,
for our ultimate good.
Indeed, he is at work even for the strengthening of our faith. Friends, like that father in the story that I just told, we can trust in Jesus. Let's pray together.